Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry. Sherry?
Mm-hmm. I had trouble getting on. I apologize. I had to call a couple of times.
Well, you're on, and good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Here's our assignment from yesterday. Go back and review the conversation in your head that you've jotted down about this issue to see if there are any voices you've not captured. Example, voice missing. Life is not a contest. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Bev calling from Kentucky.
Hello, Bev. What are you seeing?
Well, I am hearing... I think it's me, the real me. I'm hearing that I voice where I really feel like I'm connected, and it's more prominent lately. I'm hearing it a lot lately.
Uh-huh. Kind of the still small voice is becoming more audible?
Yes, I feel it. I feel like that it is me, you know. It's like, it's hard to explain. I just feel when I'm at that place, I feel very connected and very open and spacious. So I don't think I'm being fooled. I think isn't that how it should progress? Shouldn't I start hearing that more as I practice? Or
here's the place that, to me, we get to with something like this is, well, I don't know. I'm not going to turn it into something that I believe, because if I do that, then I can be fooled.
Right. Okay.
And so say is present.
Okay. Well, when it started appearing more is I've been doing Zen coaching, and I was prompted, I believe, when I'm doing the right-left recording, I'm feeling like the left has been taken over by ego. It says all the right things, and they're true. But after a while, it starts to feel more like a lecture than kind of what my daughter felt like when I would get on her. You know, when she was 16, and what I was saying was true. But that's kind of what. And when I quit doing that and just started saying, okay. You know, just very generic, no comments, no advice, no. Then I started hearing that other voice more on the right.
And so with that, one of the things that, you know, people will ask, you know, well, what does center feel like, or what does center sound like, or that sort of thing? And for me, it is that place of, well, you know, this just feels right. I don't know that it's right. I don't actually know where it's coming from. It's just a sense. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll find out. So, and that to me is what you're describing.
Yeah.
Initially,
that's exactly how it feels, but then here comes the little woman trying to make it something, you know, more than just
exactly.
what it is.
Exactly. Yes. And that's the place where we want to, it's not that, let's see, we don't want to get into a relationship with it, because what we're describing, what we're trying to talk about here is feeling what's animating us, right? Feeling the conscious compassion and awareness, or the wisdom, loving compassion that's animating us, that is doing that, right? That's powering that human being we call Bev, right? So it's right, and so we don't want to have a relationship with that, such that we are watching to see, well, now is that or isn't it, or is that?
Right.
It's moving into that place of openness and acceptance and trust. That if a voice of ego comes in and learns to mimic that, you'll find out. And see if this is your experience. It's a feeling of well-being and acceptance. There isn't that contest to it. You know, well, you could be wrong about this. When we're in that place, there's a sense that you can't be wrong. Because there's nothing hovering to judge you. It's just being gently, compassionately guided.
So it's just like everything else. Just be with it when it comes. And it's, you know, as long as I don't go off on a tangent on the story with it, it'll just lead to something else. And it'll just all,
right.
Like you keep saying, it will unfold. So, okay, that's kind
just
of the sense I had. And the stories are what make it a problem.
That's right. I kid people about just don't start a new religion, okay? Because that's where ego would like to go with it. Oh, well, okay, then this means and that means, and you know, we don't want to do that. We just want to stay in that is that so place.
Well, that was my sense of what was going on, and as I said, the problem comes when I start trying to figure it out. So
mm-hmm.
it was just
that's exactly
thank
it.
You very much for reflecting that back to me, and
you
just
are
very
so
thankful
welcome.
In this time of Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful for this Sangha. So
I hear you. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we?
Yes.
Every
yes,
day, and not just this one, but every single day of our lives.
And I have to give a little commercial for Zen Coaching. It's just helped me learn to listen better, learn to listen and not try to figure out so much. So I really do appreciate the experience I've had with my Zen coach. So,
oh, good.
I just encourage everybody to give it a try at least once. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, all these things, right? There's the year-long retreat, and some folks are in the email class, and there's coaching and there's reflective listening buddies, and there are all of these supports. And what I think we find is that everything that helps us remember to be here, that's just, it's like, I don't know what it's like, but kind of afterburners or something. You know, it just speeds us along.
And just reminders to practice. Just reminders that I...
Yes.
If I'm at a place where I'm having any kind of struggle, I need to turn to a practice tool, and it always seems to bring me back. So I'm very grateful. So, thank you.
Me too. Thank you, Bev.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Go happy. Bye-bye.
I will.
Thanks, Bev. Two things about that dropped in for me, Sherry. One is it doesn't work if it comes from ego, and we can always count on that.
Right. Yeah. Good point. We don't have to be afraid, do we?
Well, because there is a way in which authenticity can't be fooled.
Yes.
It knows itself for what it is. And so when something tries to pass itself off as it, there's a clear experience of no. I mean, of knowing that that's not so.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the second thing that dropped in, that there, the practice is a process of refinement, right? So I do the two-handed exercise, and I do it at one level of practice, and then I keep doing it at different levels of practice, and the nuance of what I am able to experience as more and more practice happens in those movements allows me to see more. See authenticity more and listen to the human more and do the movements in a different way. What I was hearing when Bev was talking is the container becomes more familiar, the structures become more familiar, but the experience just deepens.
When you were describing that, I was seeing an introduction to a television show, where they did one of those timed things with flowers opening. So in just a few seconds, a flower would go from a bud to fully bloomed. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like, right? It's just blossoming. It's just opening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Perfect timing. Always perfect timing. I was writing about that this morning to somebody in the email class, that when we are really grateful for the opening that's happening, then we realize that everything that has come before in our lives has been a part of the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And the unfolding happens so gradually, we don't often recognize it as it's happening, but it's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Catherine from St. Louis.
Well, hello.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Well, lots. just the last couple of days, I have been in a lot of dark places, or maybe it's just one dark place, and you know, same process over and over,
yeah.
Different content, same old dark place. And what I have seen is that if I turn to practice tools or turn to just even being still and asking what is going on, and looking internally, not looking externally, which is part of that process, everything changes. I may not hear a still small voice, but there's this sense that that process is a process, and I don't have to believe it. And there is a path forward, and all I have to do is just turn my attention to that.
May I? Right there?
Sure.
The still small voice happened right before you realized you wanted to turn your attention.
Okay.
Right? Because something pointed out that you're in a dark room and that what you need to do is stop and turn the attention inward and that's the process, right? That's the whole difference. That's the light coming on. So realizing that you were guided, inspired, however you want it occurred to you, whether you were consciously aware of it or not, there was that movement to presence and out of that dark place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from that, in the move to presence, then I can start really seeing the process. And it might still have a little pull on me. So, you know, there might still be that pull. But I can start seeing it.
Here's a place that I would ask you to play a little bit, okay?
Okay.
And that is that a way forward can be the first step toward the dark room.
Because
there is no forward. There's only here.
Yeah, you're right. There's here and now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if it pulls us in, okay, well now I can see how I whoopsie doopsie. What I want to do is stay right here and expand into here.
Mm. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you this, connected to the email class. There's a characteristic of the Enneatype 4, which I am, that there has dark, despairing moods, dark moods and despair.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it dropped in, and I just want to ask you about this, if there's an equivalency here. You know the practice from with OCD, people who have OCD, that's not me, that's my OCD. Is it,
mm-hmm.
would it be equivalent to say, that's not me, that's my Enneatype 4, or that's the Enneatype? Or?
Well, that's, yeah, I wouldn't own it. That's not me.
You won't.
Yeah, that's not me. That's a 4 reaction, or that's not me, that's karma. Because Enneatype, that's what an Enneatype is, right? It's
right.
basically a form of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. It, when it coalesces mm-hmm. in that way, then it we call it a type 4, or a type 6, or a type whatever, type 1,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's just, it's really just a combination of egocentric, karmically conditioned attributes, characteristics. That
mm-hmm.
it's not real. It's just that we identify with it. So for people who don't know anything about the Enneagram, they're still doing the same thing. They just don't have a number assigned to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and yeah. it's helpful to have this framework of this is a type. So
yes.
in another way
yes.
of saying this is a process. These are
yes.
the, this is karma. And then it's not
that's,
personal.
That's right.
It
is not personal. Yeah.
yeah.
And we do
okay.
not. That's one of the things that is so important with something like the Enneagram. People will attach to that, and that becomes their reason. Well, I'm a 7.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a 5, uh-huh. so that's, you know, that it's just that's just how it is. No, no, that's it, like everything else that's happened in our lifetime. It's what we learn from and move beyond. And
mm-hmm.
we don't want to ever make anything a reason or an excuse for ego
mm-hmm.
staying stuck. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and you're right.
You know,
it's helpful to realize, okay, I go into these kind of is melodramatic. Is that would that be offensive way to describe it, or would that be
not at all?
Yeah. So I have a karma. I have a tendency to go into those kinds of places. I can see that for what it is. I don't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That really
yeah.
helps. Thank you so much. It's
good.
So much fun to be doing practice, and then there's a whole new thing here. There's a whole new way of seeing this, and a whole and
yes.
even using the same tools, it just becomes
yes.
different, and that's just so much fun.
It does, because we're different all the time, right? Which
yeah.
is the power of what you're saying. I see that, and what sees that is different from what was there a moment ago.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
lights are coming on, and it is fun, and it is exciting.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Go happy.
You too. Go happy.
All right.
Thanks, Catherine. We don't, that's the thing I appreciated about that conversation, right, Cherry, that just recognizing that we have an ego doesn't necessarily mean that we need to be limited by it. The whole process
right.
of practice is to recognize the limitation and choose not to be limited.
Yes. Yes. In fact, one of the fun things to me about working with the Enneagram and awareness practice is people start seeing, that was a very seven-ish kind mm-hmm. of a, you know, or, that, yes, okay, responding to that like a, phobic 6.
Mm.
And so we just start seeing qualities and characteristics that are broader than the limited way that ego would like us to view ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that very movement, when you can you don't need to just look at it from the lens of your own Enneagram type, is also a broadening of awareness, because mm-hmm. we are, that is, ego is universally true, universally, in that sense of its attributes, just as life is universally all that is. So I am able to experience everything, even if there's a specific dominance of a particular orientation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly so. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, God. Hi there. Sharon calling.
Oh, no. I'm unmuted. Hi.
What's that?
I just was responding to the sigh of unmuted.
That is exactly what I was thinking. And if for a minute, did I say that?
Say it again?
I said for a minute, I wondered if I had said it, because it is exactly what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Who is this?
Sharon from Barbados.
Sharon. Hey, Sharon.
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
Well, I used this on practice to look at how I tend to get identified if my husband gets identified.
Uh-huh.
Right. That was something I was dealing with when I was at the monastery at the retreat. So I'm still doing a workshop on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was looking at the various sub-personalities, some of my sub-personalities, like one in particular, is kind of like a controller, you know,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to look after him, take care of him, fix him, all that's kind of like, it's a certain sub-personality that came out as I was doing the exercise. And I was doing, and when we had to draw it, I drew a picture of me pulling him in a little radio flyer wagon.
Uh-huh.
And he's like sitting there, huh? And I just, basically the workshop for me has been to not be, so more or less giving him space, detaching in a healthy way, and it's actually raised a lot of uncomfortable feelings, because now it's
of course.
Kind of, yeah, it's now kind of like there's this big hollow space between us. But I kind of feel like I'm seeing him in some ways for the first time, because there's not just kind of entanglement, attachment kind of a thing. And so it's been a continuing workshop.
Okay. So let me offer you this, Sharon.
Okay.
Since you're looking at aspects of the personality,
mm-hmm.
how about realizing that he is an aspect of your personality, because that's what you're describing. The illusion that keeps in place the delusion is that he is a real person and you are seeing him as a real person. But he's not to you. And so I would suggest that gap that you feel between you and him is actually a gap that you're feeling inside yourself, because that way of being is being examined rather than just acted out.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's kind of like, well, if I don't do that...
That's right. Who am I?
Who am I?
Exactly. It's not that anything has happened with him. It's you. It's your identity as someone who needs to control him, fix him, make something different for him. That's the identity that is being dismantled. And that's where the space feels. Now, I would project that this is actually going to open up a possibility that he can be himself and be perceived as himself. rather than mm-hmm. as a part of you that you need mm-hmm. to pull around in a wagon in order to have something to do.
Yeah, I mean, I could observe myself waking up in the morning and looking, just wanting to look to him to see what's his mood, where's he at, what, you know what I'm saying? That's right.
Yeah. He's like a pet. He's a project.
A pet.
He's something that gives you a focus in your day, but that doesn't make him a real person, right? So I'm hoping that you're going to look at it from that perspective and stop projecting all of this stuff onto him. Just take ownership of everything that's going on as you. Okay?
I like that for sure.
All right. Very good.
It gives substance to my workshop.
Yeah. And it's kind, right? It's kind. When we make other people aspects of ourselves and pretend that that's not going on, it's really quite disrespectful. So it respects both of you to realize that all of that stuff has to do with you. It's not him.
Thank you, Sharon. I shared it in my RLB, and I felt like, oh, I shouldn't have shared that. That's too personal, that kind of thing.
No,
but,
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. No,
and even sharing it here, I'm glad that you were able to help me work through it, because I, on my own, it felt very, well, like revealing, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And ego doesn't like what it's doing to be revealed. Which is why we reveal it.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm so glad this is recorded. Thanks so much, Sharon.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sharon.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Looks like we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go.
All right. Next caller,
you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Whoops.
Maybe not.
Do we have somebody?
Hello? Oh, well, I think that means we might want to end the show, Sherry. You want to try someone? There's 2 minutes left. Yeah.
No,
okay.
I don't think so, because you know what happens.
Exactly. So here's our assignment for today. Is there a duality operating that you can identify? Assignment, rearrange the voices on each side of the duality. Which aspect of ego do you see on each side, RL? Example, one side. This is the most important thing in my life. I just need to try harder. More practices, more recordings. Sincere. Second side. Is it possible that practice can't help me in this situation? Doubting Thomas Thomasina.
All right.
Thank you,
very
Sherry.
Good.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.